You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's The Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome in, everyone, to this Monday edition of The Daily Dime. Today's January 27th, and we had a fantastic sports weekend to talk about, so let's jump right into it. So I wanted to start off with the NFC Championship, where the Eagles beat the Commanders 55-23, and this game felt a lot closer throughout the course of the game than the final score ended up being. It kind of looked like a beatdown, and when you get into the box score, it may also appear that way, but anyway, I had a few main takeaways from this game, and the first one being that Jaden Daniels is a stud. You know, this guy, it's one thing to do it in the regular season, but it's another thing to do it in the playoffs. And, you know, so they went 12-5 this year, which I think far exceeded everyone's expectations, and they're probably a year or two ahead of where anyone thought they could reasonably compete. And then here they are, they find themselves in the NFC Championship game, you know, with a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And they obviously come up short, but, you know, I think Commanders fans are going to be disappointed today, but long term, you know, it's hard to look at this as anything other than a success this year. So anyway, back to the game, though. Jaden was, he was great. He had over 300 total yards, a couple touchdowns. Obviously, they come up short, but the Eagles look great right now. And like I said, you know, when you look at the box score here, they just had a crazy game. So Hurts only had 9 fewer yards passing than Daniels did, but he had 20 less attempts. And then they ran for 229 yards and 7 touchdowns on the ground. Like, 7 touchdowns is unheard of. I heard a stat earlier today that said the Cowboys ran for 6 touchdowns all season long. And the Eagles had more yesterday alone. So just crazy to see that happen. And, you know, I won't lie, I was pretty upset with the Eagles for resting Saquon in week 18. I really wanted to see him get a chance at breaking, you know, what is an all-time record. And instead they sit him to save him for the playoffs. And in my mind, I'm thinking, like, they're going to win 2 games and that no one's ever going to remember and then get knocked out of the playoffs. And it's all going to be for naught. Like, you could have taken down, you know, a record that has stood for decades, one of the all-time records in sports, and you threw that away for nothing. But as we sit here now, it's starting to look like they made the right decision as they are now heading to the Super Bowl. But in my mind, it was Super Bowl or bust, so I'm glad it panned out that way. And yeah, he was great again yesterday. He had 118 yards. He had 3 touchdowns, just utterly dominant. So again, looking like the right decision. But anyway, so next game I wanted to talk about was the AFC Championship. So the Chiefs won again, 32-29, and they are now firmly entrenched in dynasty mode. So this is Mahomes' 7th year as a starter, and they have now made, they've made the AFC Championship in every single season that he started. This will be their 5th Super Bowl appearance. They've already won 3 of them. And they've hosted 6 of these AFC Championship games. They had never hosted one before he started, ever. So those are just incredible. There's only one active quarterback now who has ever beaten Mahomes in the playoffs, and that was Burrow. And then they went and beat the Bengals the following year to avenge that immediately. And then there's only 3 quarterbacks who've ever even won 4 Super Bowls. You have Brady with 7, Montana and Bradshaw both had 4. And Mahomes, he may already join that, you know, very short list of elite quarterbacks. And he's not even 30 years old yet. It's just insane stuff that we're seeing from him and the Chiefs. You know, so here we are, you know, we're on the verge of witnessing just absolute greatness. And, you know, when you look at teams like this, or even some like the aging stars in the NBA, or guys like Ohtani or Trout in the MLB, like, you know, I think sometimes we get so caught up in the other narratives instead of just, you know, appreciating what we're seeing. And unfortunately, some of the other narratives that came up this weekend were the officiating, and you never want that to overshadow any weekend, but especially, you know, conference championship weekend. And so this is, it first became an issue in the Eagles game. Well, actually, first I should say this was part of the national conversation coming into this weekend, and I was hoping that we would be able to avoid it. You know, I think good officials, you know, they're kind of like good commentators or like a good Uber driver. You know, really, if I barely even knew you were there, then you probably did a good job. You know, sometimes there's some outliers, but typically if I'm noticing you, then there's probably something going wrong. And that's how it felt on Sunday. So we had a moment in the Eagles game where they get down to the goal line and, you know, they're of course going to run the tush push. And the Commanders were like, screw that. We're just going to run Frankie Vulu straight at the line. He's going to jump over it like Troy Polamalu. And we're just going to try and, you know, get lucky and time it correctly and shut you guys down. But, obviously that's very hard to do. And he got a few, you know, encroachment penalties and it worked at least one time. And what's great about that play is there's really not a ton of risk. It's very low risk, very high reward, because if you time it correctly, you're most likely going to, you know, probably tackle them for a loss, at minimum, keep them out of the end zone. And if you don't and you get an offsides penalty, you know, at that point on the field, they're only going to move the ball a couple inches. And we know it's not a perfect science. So at a certain point, it's barely moving. And so it's like, you know, this low risk, high reward, why not do it? But then out of nowhere, Hockley comes out and says that, what was it called? Like a palpable unfair act or something like that. There was some like obscure rule that I've never heard of. And I think I know a lot of the even obscure rules. I've never heard of this before. And they basically said if they kept intentionally, you know, committing these penalties, that they could just give the Eagles a touchdown, essentially, which is just blew my mind. I didn't know that that was possible. Because in my mind, I was thinking, like, if I'm the Commanders, because I also, to take a step back, I hate the tush push, the brotherly shove, whatever you want to call it. I think it's just, it's wildly unentertaining. It doesn't look like a football play. It looks more like a rugby scrum. And it's actually already against the rules, like push these guys and they just let it happen anyway. And so I hate the tush push. But so I was thinking, if I'm the Commanders or any other team, you know, you're basically going to concede a touchdown if they're at the 1 or 2 yard line anyway. Why not just blow them up, make them not want to run the play? Like instead of going like the Frankie Vulu route, like they did and try to jump the line, like Polamalu, like just blow them up, like pretend you're trying to time it right. But I would just say, hey, who wants to kamikaze this offensive line or Hurts or whoever and just start at the wall, like get a 15 yard head start, whatever it is, and just blow them up and make them not want to run it anymore. Cause you're going to give up a score. But after learning about this rule, I know I had it somewhere in the notes. I'm trying to think of what the rule was called. But like a palpably unfair act. And apparently you can get ejected and they can give you points. So, you know, you probably can't do something like that. But I hope they outlawed at the end of the season. I'm very much over that play. And I would not be upset if we never saw that again. And because the defense is already at such a disadvantage, like you have to try to time it perfectly. And, you know, 99% of the time you're just reacting to the offense moving first. And, you know, when they can push guys like that, it's impossible to stop. So I think there needs to be some type of change to just give the defense at least a shot, on the goal line there. But anyway, so then we get to the AFC Championship and then there were a few more calls and, you know, the discourse all week was that, you know, the Chiefs were going to get, you know, the officiating advantage. And then of course there's a couple plays towards the end of the game that it looked like the Bills had first downs. They don't call them first downs. The Chiefs of course go right down and score. There were a couple other plays like, you know, a catch that maybe wasn't a catch, some other penalties that maybe shouldn't have been called. And suddenly this is the whole narrative again. I mean, it's why we're talking about it right now, because that's all anyone else is talking about. And it's unfortunate. You know, we're like I said earlier, we are witnessing greatness from Mahomes and the Chiefs and Saquon and the Eagles and all these other teams out there as well. And it seems like week after week we're talking about the officiating again and how poor it is. And I don't think the games are rigged, but there definitely needs to be some changes within, you know, the officiating ranks as well. So hopefully some of that can be solved with technology moving forward. I don't know exactly what all the answers are, but, you know, hopefully this isn't the narrative forever. But anyway, I don't want to talk about officiating anymore. There was one other thing I wanted to mention. You know, I talked a little bit about the Commanders and their losing effort. I want to talk a little bit about the Bills, because Josh Allen was great again. I mean, and you just got a feel for him at this point. Him and the Bills and the Bills fans, you know, they have a fantastic fan base and they just cannot get over the hump. But frankly, nobody can in the AFC right now. And the AFC is loaded. When you look at the best quarterbacks in the league right now, and this isn't in any order, but you've got Mahomes, obviously, Allen, Burrow, Lamar, Herbert, Stroud, List goes on, and I don't know how many of those guys, you know, probably at least five of them that you would take before you would take any quarterback out of the NFC. And so the AFC is a gauntlet, but no one can get through it but the Chiefs right now. They're just, you know, a buzzsaw. So anyway, you got to feel for Allen. He was fantastic again. He's probably going to finish second in MVP voting this year, and second in the AFC again. So we'll see next year. Maybe, you know, I think the Bengals will be a little bit better. Bills will be back. Ravens will be back. Chiefs will be back again. Maybe we'll have someone else representing the AFC next year. But right now, it's not looking like it. So anyway, with that, we'll just about wrap it up for this Monday episode of The Daily Dime. As always, thank you for joining us today. If you would, please follow the show, or subscribe and like if you're on YouTube, and rate us 5 stars if you're listening to the podcast version. But anyway, we'll talk to you tomorrow. See you.